Morning, our devotional reading comes from Joshua 6, verses 1 through 14. Now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out, none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, See, I have given unto thine hand Jericho, and the king thereof, and the mighty man of valor. And ye shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go around about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns. And the 7th day ye shall compass the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow with the trumpets. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when ye hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up, every man straight before him. And Joshua the son of Nun called the priest, and said unto them, Take up the ark of the covenant, and let 7 priests bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord. And he said unto the people, Pass on and compass the city, and let him that is armed pass on before the ark of the Lord. And it came to pass when Joshua had spoken unto the people, that the 7 priests bearing the 7 trumpets of ram's horns passed on before the Lord, and blew with the trumpets, and the ark of the covenant of the Lord followed them. And the armed men went before the priests that blew with the trumpets, and the reward came after the ark, the priests going on and blowing with the trumpets. And Joshua had commanded the people, saying, Ye shall not shout, nor make any noise with your voice, neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth until the day I bid you shout. Then shall ye shout. So the ark of the Lord compassed the city, going about it once, and they came into the camp and lodged in the camp. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and the priest took up the ark of the Lord. And 7 priests bearing 7 trumpets of the ram's horns before the ark of the Lord went out continually and blew with the trumpets. And the armed men went before them, but the reward came after the ark of the Lord, the priests going on and blowing with the trumpets. And the 2nd day they compassed the city once and returned into the camp. So they did 6 days. Are there any announcements before we go to class?
Our lesson today picks up where Brother Jimmy stopped reading, and that's in the 6th chapter of Joshua, and verses 15 through 21. And that says, And it came to pass on the 7th day that they rose early about the dawning of the day and compassed the city after the same manner 7 times. Only on that day they compassed the city 7 times. And it came to pass at the 7th time, when the priest blew the trumpets, Joshua said unto the people, Shout, for the Lord hath given you the city. And the city shall be accursed, even it and all that are therein, to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all that are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. And ye in any wise keep yourself from the accursed thing, lest ye make yourselves accursed when ye take of the accursed thing, and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. But all the silver and gold and vessels of brass and iron are consecrated unto the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord. So the people shouted when the priest blew the trumpets, and it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. And they utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both man and woman, young and old, and ox and sheep and ass, with the edge of the sword. The Lord is with the people here in this lesson that we are studying today, the Battle of Jericho. And the reason the Lord is with this people is because they are obeying him. They have been given specific instructions, which to the natural mind doesn't really make any sense. There's no real reason as a man that you would do the things that they were instructed to do, and yet the Lord instructed them to do these things, and they did it as in the exact manner that he instructed them to. That is, they had faith and confidence, and they believed in their God to obey him. One of the things that I noticed as I studied this is that it says in the 15th verse, it came to pass on the seventh day that they rose up early, about the dawning of the day. They didn't lay around, sleep late, have a breakfast, kind of linger around, get their second cup of coffee. No, they rose up early when the sun came up, and they went out about the task that they had been instructed to. They were they put this first, this work of God that was before them. They put that first, and they didn't dilly-dally, they didn't dawdle, they didn't lollygag. They went straight for it and went straight to it, what they were to be doing. And they did it in the order that they were commanded to. That is, the 6 days and the six single trips, and then the seventh day and the seven trips about the city, and then the sounding of the trumpets, and then the people shouting. That was the way that God had told them to do it, and that's the way they did it. And they were rewarded with the walls of the city fell down. The walls of the city didn't fall down because of the trumpets or because of the voice, but rather the Lord took them down, and he took them down because his people obeyed him. His people did as they were instructed. They didn't follow their natural thinking, but rather they were in a spiritual way. And so that is why that battle was won. Now, this is an example for us as to how we ought to go about. And I guess I stand up here every Sunday and I read these things, and then I go, well, this is an example, and I try to bring this out. But that's how I think. That's what the Old Testament is here for, is to give us examples of how to do things and how not to do things, what worked and where God blessed his people and what his people did wrong and how they were punished. And so I believe here we have an example of a people doing something right, and we need to think about it and study it and see what it was they did right. And what I believe they did right was they just obeyed the Lord, and they didn't allow doubts and thoughts to come into their mind. Why are we doing this? This doesn't make any sense. But rather they said, okay, this is what the Lord said do. Let's do this in the way that he did. And I think the writer of our Sunday school book brings out the example of Naaman the leper, and how that he was commanded to go dip in the River Jordan, and he didn't want to do that. He thought that was foolish. And then his servant said, well, if he said do something great, you would have done that. So Naaman reconsidered, and he went and he dipped in the Jordan as he was commanded, and he came clean. The point on that story also is he did what he was told to do. He didn't vary. He didn't move off to the side, to the left, or the right. And it's really important, I think, that we as God's people do what we're told to do. We follow the teachings of the Bible. We don't veer off to the left or the right. We don't allow traditions to creep in. And that's something that's, you know, we think that we've got that all under control, that we don't allow traditions creeping. We think, oh, well, we're doing just what we ought to do. Well, we may be following the examples of the ones that went before us, but are we sure they didn't allow traditions to creep in? What I'm getting at is it needs to be based on what the Bible teaches, not what our fathers did and their fathers before them, but we need to be sure that it's biblical, that it comes from the Bible, that it's taught in the Bible. If it's not taught in the Bible, we need to question it, because this is our instructions. This is how we're to study the Word of God, and we need to study it with prayer, that he'd give us an understanding heart, because I can sit down and I can read this and doesn't really make, I won't say that it doesn't make sense, but I really don't grasp it on a spiritual level. I grasp it on a carnal level, which isn't very deep at all. But when I can grasp it on a spiritual level, it means something to me. It relates to the life that I'm living right now. If I read it on a carnal level, it's just something that some people did 1,000, 2,000, 3,000 years ago that doesn't really seem to apply to me a whole lot. But this people on this day was a spiritual people. They obeyed God, and He was with them, and they won this battle. We see here in the 18th verse, and it says, He warns them not to take of the things that they're going to be the loot, the spoils, the wealth of this city that they're about to be walking in. They're not to take of it, to partake of that they're to destroy it. And it says in the 19th verse, but all the silver and the gold and the vessels of brass and iron are consecrated unto the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord. These things, this gold and brass and silver and iron, is to be taken and used in the service of God. It wasn't to be taken as, you know, if I were one of the people of Israel that day and I walked through and I found some nice tool that they had invented, because this, I believe that the city of Jericho, it probably had a lot of wealth in it. It was, I'm assuming, a large city and a wealthy city and a prosperous people. And as you're walking through there as a child of God, and you know that you've been commanded to utterly destroy all of this people and this, it says even the ox, the sheep, and that. Well, those animals weren't evil in of themselves. They weren't worshiping one way or the other, and yet they were still commanded to destroy those animals. But it would be easy as one of these children of Israel to be walking through there and kind of look and say, hey, wow, this is a nice knife right here. This is a very well-made knife. I'd really like to have this, you know, but nobody's around. Nobody's going to see me. Why don't I just take it? Because I can use this. Or any other thing. I mean, the garments, the changes of clothes. There was a lot of things there that would have been appealing to them, I believe. But they were commanded not to take of those things. They were commanded to destroy that. And I don't know if we'll get into the sin of Achan or not. It seems like I remember seeing that, but I don't know. But anyway, and so that's what they're doing here. They're going through and they're destroying it, even the animals. The thing that comes to my mind is, bring into today, we as God's people ought not to be reliant upon the things that we have around us. Our cars, our houses, our electricity, running water, we tend to kind of grow at ease because that makes our life easy. I mean, it's easy to go over there and get yourself a drink of water when you want it any time, day or night. You just turn the faucet and then out it comes. And it's always been that way in my life. And it's easy to get up and to look through the closet or the drawer, and you've got all kinds of choices there as to what you're going to wear, whether it's shorts, long pants, or T-shirts or button-up shirts, whatever. I've got a lot of choices. I've got a lot of wealth here in this. And that makes it to where I grow at ease. I grow at rest because it's there. It's always been there. It's always going to be there. But that's not really true. When I get to thinking like that, I'm kind of resting and trusting in those things. And I think that's why God told them, don't take of that. Don't trust in those things. Don't turn to those things. Don't rely on the gold and the money to get you through the storehouses of food. That's not how we as God's people ought to be. We really ought to be trusting in God, relying upon Him. And I believe that's why they were instructed to destroy this stuff, so that it wouldn't be a snare to them later on. And I'm afraid that many times we as God's people kind of fall into that snare of wealth. And I don't think God I think God wants us to have this wealth. I think He blesses us and He's given us these things for our enjoyment. But it's not pleasing unto Him when we grow at ease, when we grow lax, when we just kind of take it for granted. I do take it for granted. I will say that. I don't know if you do or not. It's not very often that I stop and I thank God because I can flip a switch and a light comes on. Or I can ride into Nashville with the air conditioning or the heat, either one, set to wherever I want it to in my car. I think that it makes God happy to be able to give that to me. I like to help my kids out myself. But I think that He wants to help me out and do those things for me. But when I have it in my mind that that's something that I did, I don't think that's pleasing unto Him. I need to thank Him for it. I need to give Him honor and glory because He did those things for me. He gave those things. And I believe He looked at this people and He knew how easy it would be for them to get distracted, for them to get sidetracked. And He didn't want that to happen. He wanted to bless them. He wanted them to know that the blessings came from Him. And so that was why they were commanded to utterly destroy all these things, that they couldn't keep them, because it would be a distraction to them. It would sidetrack them. So let's be aware of that. Let's keep that on our minds, you know, not to get distracted, not to get sidetracked, but to realize our blessings come from God. All the things that we have, those things came from God. That didn't come from me getting up and going to work. God blessed me with a job. He blessed me with the health to be able to do my job. And, you know, He can take it away just like that. Before I can get to the door, He can take all of everything away if He so chooses. That's the mindset that we as God's people ought to have, to rely upon Him and not to rely upon ourselves and whatever we've surrounded ourselves with or whatever we've been blessed with or what we have in the bank. We shouldn't count on that to see us through anything. If God wills it, we'll get through it. If He doesn't, then we're not. And anything else doesn't matter. He willed this wall to fall down for these people because they obeyed Him. Had they not obeyed Him, this lesson would have read very different, I believe. I don't think the wall would have fallen. Probably the people of Jericho would have come out and met these. It would have been an entirely different lesson. But because they had faith and they trusted in God and they obeyed Him, this is what we're studying today. A people that served God and was rewarded by God for that service to Him. Let's learn from these people and try to do our service to God as best we can and to ask Him to forgive us when we fail. Because we're not perfect and these people weren't perfect either. I think we'll probably read later on where they failed, where they suffered, and we fail also. But there's a remedy for that. We can turn to the Lord, and we need to every day because, again, speaking just for myself, I fail every day. I need to turn to the Lord, and I don't always. I always fail every day, but I don't always ask Jesus to forgive me for those failures. I don't always admit that to myself. You know, Job prayed for his children that God would forgive them for the things that they don't even realize they're doing wrong, the sins that creep into our lives that we don't even acknowledge as a sin, and yet it happens because we're imperfect. We're sinners. We're saved by God, but we're still sinners. And we need to continuously turn to Him and ask Him, put me back on the right track. Let me know what You would have me to do and give me the strength to do it. I think that's what they did. And we are reading about the results of that here today. That's all that I've got for today. Does anybody have any thoughts on this? I don't know if we'll... I haven't looked through the Sunday school book to see. I don't know if we're going to get into the sin of Achan, but it's in chapter 7. And it immediately follows if anybody wants to read on. I'm sure you all know what happened and in the story, but it's good because that's an example of one person not following God and the trouble and heartache that it brought on the entire people, not just the one person. When I sin, it brings reproach upon everyone, and everyone has difficulties because of that. You know, the Spirit of the Lord is removed. It's separated from His people when they sin and they don't repent. That builds up a wall, a separation, and that's what happened. And the next battle that they go into, it doesn't turn out very well for them. They're chased off, and a lot of them die because of the sin of the one man. So we've got two examples there of people. Let's be careful about which one we follow after. If nobody has any comments or questions, we can be dismissed. Let's pray that the Lord would meet with us today and give us guidance. Brother Sonny, would you dismiss us?